Well, this morning we continue in our Christmas stories. Of course, today we catch a part of Mary's story. And before we get there, we had a good chuckle this week in the office. You know, the sermon titles are connected to the book we're reading. We make the road by walking. And so it's a way of just helping you know week by week kind of where are we. And the chapter title this week is what? Women on the Edge, right? And when Barb read that, I think in the office with a few others there, she thought maybe that was more a commentary about our anxiety in Christmas time and preparations, right? That we sometimes are people on the edge with all the things, all the pressures, all the to-do lists and such. And I thought, whew, it's not trying to be a commentary like that. What McLaren's actually getting at is, of course, these contrasting stories early on in the Gospel of Luke about Elizabeth and Mary, women on the edges of society in some ways. Elizabeth as an elderly woman with no children, perhaps living in shame and isolation because of that. And then Mary as this young bride-to-be who isn't really an adult yet, isn't really fully included in things yet. That maybe they're both out there on the edges in a very male-dominated, patriarchal society. And so then it's perhaps even more surprising what happens. We read in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." She was much perplexed by his words, pondered what sort of greeting that might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative, Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, gracious Lord, we read a very familiar story once again in this Advent season about a girl on the edge, just beginning life and possibilities and opportunities. A girl of humble origins, and yet here you speak to her. Lord, continue to speak today by your Spirit. Speak to us in these moments, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what is God up to in this moment with Mary? Really, two questions for this morning. What is God up to, and why Mary? And of course, The first part we have a term for, it's the incarnation. It's God doing this miraculous event of becoming human, being God, but becoming human fully as a child, being born into the world. And we're well familiar with that part of the story. Sometimes maybe we marvel at this idea of the virgin birth. I think probably better to marvel more at this whole idea of the incarnation even more so. Because God can do all sorts of amazing things. But to even imagine God would become fully human, take on the form of a child, begin as an embryo, be fully formed and born into the world. That's sort of miraculous unto itself. But I think the more interesting question for us today is, why Mary? As a woman on the edge? Why possibly a 16-year-old young girl from the north, from Nazareth, a place of no account, really? I want to suggest today sort of two reasons why. Two reasons why Mary, and that has something to do with us as well. My daughter, Abby, you know, my middle daughter, she's going to Hope College right now over in Holland, Michigan, freshman there. And it struck me, they have an interim president right now. They've been in the midst of a search for a new president. And you know how search processes go, right? Committees brought together, team of folks put their heads together, and they start to work out the job description, the qualifications, the responsibilities, what all is required. And then they think, and now, what sort of person fits the bill, right? We're going to do this exhaustive job search. Who fits the bill? What characters, what qualities, what experience do we want them to have? And then they go in search of that candidate. And once they find it, yes, the invitation is extended. Will you come be our president? And they actually just announced who that's going to be. It got me thinking about this particular moment with Mary. If you were God, you get to play with this image for a minute. If you were God and you were searching for somebody to bring the Son of God into the world, to bear him, would you have chosen Mary? A young girl of no account. That's surprising to me. Why Mary? What is it about her that God saw and said, yes, that's who I want to invite. That's who I want to ask to bear the incarnation. Well, one, I think it was because Mary was receptive. She was open to the ways of God. She was open to the voice of God. How do we know this? Well, did you notice how she responds to Gabriel, the angel? And if you think about it, in contrast to Zechariah, who we explored last week, you know, Zechariah, he was totally startled, fearful, and asking for signs, right? This was an entire surprise to Zech. What? But that's not how Mary responds. You notice her first words in response to the angel Gabriel showing up and saying, "Greetings, favored one." What does she say? Mary was greatly troubled at his words. I wonder what kind of greeting this was. She wasn't surprised that God was showing up through the angel Gabriel. It was more about what the angel was saying to her that was surprising. She seems, in some ways, to be a very, very receptive and ready to see what God has in store for her. And I wonder if that's not because she was a young girl. So often I find in young folks, in teenagers, a willingness, an openness to explore, to imagine, to play with the possibilities and the mysterious, much more so than you or I often. That may have been Zechariah's problem as well. At 80 years old, he may have sort of gotten set into his ways and had very little imagination left for the possibilities of God, but not Mary. Mary was open. She was willing. She was ready and not surprised that God had shown up and was speaking to her. So how do we become receptive people? Because I think that's a part of the challenge of Mary. She's open, willing to hear what the angel has to say to the invitation that God is giving. How open are we? How receptive are we to the voice of God? To the ways of God? That's a challenge, I know, for me. I tend to sort of have things figured out in my mind. This is how God works. This is what God is up to. But to be open, to be receptive to the ways of God and this voice of God needs to leave some room for that. Some space for the voice of God to show up. And it might mean I have to slow down. I have to stop to be open and receptive, to notice. Ben Patterson is another Presbyterian pastor I've known many years, and he talked about it this way. He said, you know, when we want to get something done, it's our habit to say, don't just stand there, do something, right? But when God wants to get something done in us, I think he says, don't just do something, stand there. Wait. Be open, be ready, be willing for the voice of God to speak. Because God is still speaking, but I think we just miss it so often because we're not open to it. We're not receptive to the possibilities that God is still at work in the world. Just as he came, the angel Gabriel to Mary, God is still showing up and speaking to us. There's an old play, George Bernard Shaw play called Saint Joan, about Joan of Arc. Any of you ever see that one? Very few. Well, of course, Joan of Arc, if you remember, she heard the voice of God. All right? And in the play, the king is upset about this. The king says, oh, your voices. Why don't your voices come to me? I am the king, not you. And Joan says, well, they do come to you, she replied. But you do not hear them, because you've not sat in the field in the evening listening for them. When the angelus rings, you cross yourself and are done with it. But if you prayed from your heart and listened to the trilling of the bells in the air after they stopped ringing, you would hear the voices as well as I do. Joan was somebody open to the possibilities of God, somebody listening, not just in the expected moments of God, not just in the worship week by week, but in all the other moments throughout the week. How receptive are we to the ways of God? And how do we become more receptive to God? How do we open ourselves up? Well, I think first we've got to be people who are praying about it. Because it just doesn't come naturally. Especially in the 21st century, we're so used to the information, the data, the activity of our lives that I don't think we become very open and receptive to God. We get very scheduled and programmed. I think we need to take time day by day to be praying, Spirit, move in me, open me up, let me hear, and taking time to listen. So often, perhaps our prayers are full of our words and need to have a little more listening involved. I know that's true for me. I think of all the things I want to say and share and ask, but then prayer is also about that openness and that quiet to say, now, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. So I think we have to start with prayer. Start with this openness and this desire to say, I want to be open to you, God. I want to hear your voice. But then I think, too, it means we have to be willing to be interrupted. To be receptive, to be open to God, we have to be willing to be interrupted in our lives. Because God shows up in the times that are unexpected. God shows up not on our schedule, but on God's schedule. And so are we willing to be interrupted? And of course, it doesn't always seem like God right away in those interruptions. I think of different times when somebody stopped by the office to share something, and I'm in the midst of preparing, working, a sermon, studying, getting some program ready, and I think, oh, what a bother. Why didn't they schedule an appointment? That's what we do, right? Schedule. Make an appointment, would you? But that interruption might just be God at work. Are we willing to be interrupted? course, Jesus put it out in very practical ways, right? In one of his parables, when he said, when you feed someone, when you clothe someone, when you listen and come alongside someone, when you care for someone, you're doing that to me. Those are the interruptions, the surprises when God may be showing up and trying to speak. Do we notice? Are we ready to be interrupted? If we have no time to receive our neighbor or the kids on the street, maybe we're missing where God is trying to interrupt. There's a second thing about Mary, and I think it's easy to see. Mary seems to be this humble spirit, right? And I think that's one of those crucial things that God is looking for, and to somebody to say, I want to work through you and in you. It's going to require some humility in our part. Mary is told this life-altering news. You are going to bear a child by the Spirit of God, and it's going to be the Son of God. You're not married yet. This is going to have all sorts of consequences in social relationships and culture for you in this moment. She doesn't whine. She doesn't complain. She doesn't respond with question after question. She says, here am I, a servant to the Lord. May it be to me according to your will. Wow. I think that's because of she has this humble spirit that is ready to say, all right, God, what do you want to do in me? I'm open to it. I'm ready to do it. Do we have that sort of humility in us? To have life-altering news from God and to say, okay, I'm up for that, God. I'll do that. To say, here I am, a servant of the Lord. And of course, what does God ask of her? To bear a child. And in so many ways, this image of a pregnant young girl is the epitome of a humility of spirit. And I can't, of course, speak from personal experience on this one, but ladies, you know this. If you've been pregnant, as a pregnant woman, you become secondary to the child within you in so many ways, right? Your body has to change and morph and give everything it's got so this new life will be born in you. Pregnancy, in so many ways, requires the humility of the mother to go well, right? That's an apt description for what God is trying to do in any one of us, a humility to give of ourselves to the way of God being born in us. It means, in another way of thinking about it, of sort of stepping back and playing second fiddle because God is taking the first chair. You ever played second fiddle or second tuba or second flute? Leonard Bernstein, you may have heard of him, great orchestra conductor, composer. He was asked, what's the hardest instrument to play? His answer was second fiddle. And they pushed him on that. What do you mean? He said, well, it's second fiddle, because I can always get plenty of first violinists. But to find one who plays a second violin with as much enthusiasm or second French horn or second flute, now that's a problem. And yet if no one plays second, then we have no harmony. Mary was willing to play second fiddle to the way of God being born in her. Mary wanted to be singing in harmony with God. And that takes humility. Because to sing in harmony means we're not first chair. We're backup of a sort. Right? That takes a certain humility. To play second fiddle to the will of God. Do we have that sort of humility in us and the receptivity and openness to hear God's voice and to respond to it humbly, like Mary, and to play second fiddle So we have Mary the receptive, Mary the humble, Mary the joyful, of course. That's why we light a candle of joy when we speak of Mary. Because as the humble, receptive spirit that she is, the possibility, the knowledge that God is doing this in her brings great joy. And so it can in us as well. Because that's the paradox, really. That's the surprise of Christmas. That God is doing all of this through simple human beings. Through people like Zechariah and Elizabeth. Through people like Mary and Joseph. Through people like you and me. God has chosen to work through us, not in spite of us. One of my favorite authors is a man named Frederick Buechner. Anybody read any Buechner? If you'd like to read great theological sort of musings, Buechner's great. He's got a lot of great books. One is called Peculiar Treasures, and it's a way in which he plays a little bit with a bunch of different characters throughout the scriptures, and he tries to flesh out a little bit more of who are they. When he talks about Mary, he contrasts it with the angel Gabriel and what Gabriel might be thinking. He says this about Gabriel as he encounters Mary. He says, "She struck him as hardly old enough to have a child at all, let alone this child." But, of course, he had been entrusted with a message to give her, and he gave it, and he told her what the child was to be named and who he was to be, and something about the mystery that was to come upon her. "You mustn't be afraid, Mary," he said. And as he said it, he only hoped she wouldn't notice beneath the great golden wings he himself was trembling with fear to think the whole future of creation hung on the answer of a girl. And then Buechner had a little image drawn in at this point about the angel Gabriel, and it shows him crossing his fingers behind his back. He said, "Oh Lord, I hope this works." It seems so tenuous, so impossible. God would design to be born into the world through a 16-year-old girl in the nowhere town of Nazareth. But that's the mystery and the delight and the joy of Christmas. That one who was receptive and humble was ready to bear the Son of God into the world. And I don't know about you, I don't know if God is going to ask you to do something world-changing in the near future, but I suspect God is trying to speak to each one of us in some way, shape, or form in the weeks and months to come in our life. It might be for something simple and subtle. It might be for something really profound and life-altering. The question is, will we hear it? Are we receptive and open to it? And are we humble enough to receive it and to respond like Mary did by saying, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Well, Lord, we are indeed humbled by Mary's response. An openness and a willingness to do, to partner with you, to play second fiddle, to sing in harmony, and to bear the Christ child. Lord, what are you calling us to do? How is your voice trying to speak to us? Lord, may we be ready to hear and to respond. We ask today in Jesus' name. Amen.